Good morning. How's everybody? We've had occasions over the last year or so where we've included testimony on a Sunday morning a little bit more. And how many people have been blessed by that? It's just so good to hear it when rubber meets the road, when people are discussing their lives. And we can talk a lot of theology and a lot of theory and a lot of textualism, I guess, but at the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road, that's where our faith is truly encouraged, when we see the Lord act and his activity in our lives. And so this morning we have the privilege of hearing from Richard and Grace. It's an amazing privilege to have you both with us this morning.
Thank you.
Is your mic working?
I think it is.
It's good, very good, very good. Richard has only been in this church a mere 67 years, and so we thought it'd be good to hear from somebody so new. And Grace is even more of a newbie. She's only been here 61 years, so it's going to be very interesting hearing their testimony this morning. And so I'm going to ask them just a sort of a series of questions and just let them share as they want to share. So the first question I'd like to just ask is just tell us about your early years from both of you and actually how you came to know the Lord.
Looks like I've got to go first. Well, as a small child, I was taught that if I wanted to go to heaven, I had to ask Jesus into my life. So I did. I didn't understand much about what Jesus had done for me, but I believed that I needed his salvation. And if I asked him to save me, he would. And he did. But when I reached the age of 10, listening to a story about what it cost Jesus to die for me, I understood. And I remembered feeling the immense gratitude and thanking him that he took the punishment for my sin for me. Now, often people say they're brought up in a Christian home. And I was brought up in a Christian home, but that didn't make me a Christian. And I remember a speaker once saying, if a mouse is born in a biscuit tin, it's not a biscuit. And if you're born in a Christian home, that doesn't make you a Christian. It has to be your own decision and your own commitment.
I have always been a Manawatu fellow. I was brought up in the Kairanga, lived there for the first 19 years. My dad was a dairy farmer, and that's all I ever wanted to do was to milk cows. I loved cows, and I still do. We went to church, a very small one, at Turitea. It was held in the school building, and we went from Kairanga all the way to Turitea because my grandfather had quite a bit to do with it. But God spoke to me at the age of 10. And we had to learn some verses at Sunday school. And one of the ones I learned was this: all have sinned and come short. Well, I hadn't done anything terribly wrong, but I hadn't always obeyed my parents. I hadn't always done the truth. And so when I lined that up with what God wanted, even as a boy of 10, I understood that. But how could I be made right with God? We had another verse to learn. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so one night, as I went to bed, I started to think about this a lot. So I got out of bed, knelt down by my bed, and ask Jesus to forgive me and thank him that he had died for my sin on a cross and that he would make me one of his children. I started that off at 10. Never give up in telling children the truth of the gospel, will you? Because Grace was 10, I was 10. I went to school at Kairanga. I did my secondary education at Palmerston North Boys High.
Very good. Can you tell us how you actually met each other? And how did that all happen?
I'm glad I'm first on this. His story's different.
Your story. Your story first.
I'll tell my story. Well, I had a sister and brother-in-law that attended this church, and I used to come over and stay with them sometimes. I'd come here, and the first time I came here, church was just held in that middle section there, and the communion table was in the centre, and we all sat around. Well, every time I looked up over in the direction where this guy was sitting, he was looking at me. So I tried to work out who this guy was. And when I got home, got back to my sister's, I said to her, "Is that John Brooke?" "No, that wasn't John Brooke. That's Richard Print." And that's how we met.
Just the look.
Actually, I thank God that he led me to such a godly man as Richard, and God has blessed us both so much.
Well, that story is just about right. Except she did the looking. You see, I was a very shy young fellow. And I wouldn't say boo to anybody, or at least look at them. But every time I lifted my head, it was true, she was looking at me. But wait, there's more. Her brother-in-law, Bill, asked me whether I'd like to go round to their place for the evening meal. And I thought, this is strange. I said, yes, not many people ask me to go to their place. But when I got there, guess who was there?
Me.
That was Grace. And so we had the evening with her sister and her brother-in-law, and I think that was the first time that I ever really spoke to Grace face to face. And I had been praying, even as a young fella of probably 19, I think, God would give me a good wife, one who would help me. And lo and behold, what you've just heard happened. God answered in the negative, in the positive.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Sorry about that. But Grace is an amazing person. We sang Amazing Grace of God. Well, I've got a second amazing grace, and that's this lady. Yeah.
Just a little about your marriage, the early years. during those early married years? Any testimony stories? I mean, you know, what year were you married? Children you had, so on and so forth. Just family life a little bit.
We were married in 1963 in what was the chapel, what's now the youth hall.
Does Richard remember the exact date?
We can't forget it because it was the day that President Kennedy was assassinated. Oh. So we get reminded every year. That's right. We had three children. Our son Colin, he lives in Auckland, he and Bronwyn. And our daughter, she and Simon live here in Palmerston North. And our other son Stuart, he and Michelle live in Wellington. We were busy to start with. We lived over in Kaituna Street at Milson for about 8 years, was it? Not quite that long. And then we bought a farmlet out at Hewanui, and we spent 33 years at Hewanui. Our school, Lindley and Colin started school at Milson School, and Stuart started school at Hewanui School. Our marriage has been really blessed. We have 8 grandchildren, and at the moment, one is in Malaysia, 2 are in Japan, 1 is probably arrived in India. She flew over yesterday. And 1 is in England playing, a granddaughter in England playing professional rugby. The one that's in Malaysia is with the New Zealand Women's Black Sticks. And they move on to India shortly to try and qualify for the Olympics. So they're quite a sporty lot, as was their dad.
Well, I think you've been told all about our family. I think that's about it.
That's good. Can you share some notable times? Obviously, you've been in the Lord for a long time. And there will be times where you've seen God intervene in your life in quite a radical way, blessed you, protected you, so on and so forth. So would you like to just go for it and share a few stories of those memorable times where you know that God has actually done something quite special in you and in your family?
We've probably, to a certain extent, lived a typical life, and life is not always easy. And there was one very stressful time when Richard had an associate who was dishonest, and this could have reflected legally on Richard, and all we had worked for could have been taken away from us. After he told me, the next morning my Bible reading was from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 3 in the New Living Translation, and I want to read that to you today. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through the rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord, your God and Saviour. I knew that was the Lord reassuring me that whatever happened, he was in control. And another time when the Lord really directed us, we were visiting a COV missionary in Turkey. She was Joy Linton then, and she was here last Sunday morning with her husband. Don't know whether she's here today. They live in England now. But we were to fly from Turkey to Albania, and there was a tremendous crowd at the airport, and we couldn't get through. And people were elbowing us out of the way. And I'm afraid I was a New Zealander, not used to elbowing people out of the way. And when we got through the gate, we found the plane had gone. So we had to spend that night in Rome and then fly on to Albania the next day. We managed to get hold of the wife of the New Zealand missionary that was to meet us in Albania, and she got the message to him that we would be arriving the next day. He told us when we arrived that if we had gone when we were scheduled to, it would have been very dangerous for us to stay at the Tirana airport, and just as dangerous for us to get a taxi into town. He had forgotten to take our travelling schedule with him, so he didn't know when we were arriving. He had forgotten. Can't you see the Lord in that? And it really has taught me that if we're going somewhere and we get held up, just leave it to the Lord, because he knows where he wants you at the exact time.
Do you reckon God speaks today? He does. When I was 19, I had a friend at church here. His name was Nev Beardsworth. And Nev said, look, I'm going off to a Christmas camp at Eastern Beach in Auckland. Would you like to come? And I said, yeah, I'm going to have a few days off work and haven't got anything planned. So we got on the Limited Express, it was, the early train from here, and went to Auckland. It was that train that went into the Tangawai disaster in 1953 or something like that. And this was 59, 58. And at that camp, we had a lot of Bible ministry, and there I found God really does speak to you if you listen. And there was a man there, his name was Wilbur Wright. He led the New Zealand Youth for Christ people, and he spoke on the life of Samson. Now, I know I'm boasting at the moment when I tell you this, but I reckon I was a really strong guy physically. I could beat anybody up if they touched me.
He broke a guy's
Sounds
ribs
like Samson, doesn't it?
He broke a guy's ribs once in a pillow fight.
But Wilbur Wright spoke on the life of Samson. And somehow God was telling me, you think you're strong, like Samson. But remember, he was only strong when he walked in fellowship with me. And when he went the other way, he got into all sorts of problems. Even a young girl tricked him. And that really spoke to me, the life of Samson. And I remember going off to my bunk and just sitting down there and praying to God and saying, God, I'll give you my life, but you'll have to help me a lot because I can't do it by myself. But there and then was a time when God really spoke to me, and I promised him that I would do my best with his help to serve him. Then just after we were married, God spoke to me again. I was reading in the book of Daniel. And in Daniel 10, verse 10, Daniel was told, Daniel, you are really loved of God. And it seemed to me that those verses were telling me, Richard, you really are loved of God. The other time when God spoke to me was not too long ago, when I had to admit that I'm an old man now. And they say that old men dream dreams. Did you know that, you fellas? And you might have some strange dreams when you're old. But in this dream, I was in a very dark room. And a voice was talking. I was trying to get into heaven's gate, but it was all darkness. And this voice said, you're not allowed in there. You can't go into heaven. You're just a plain, filthy sinner. You're mine. I believe that was the voice of the evil one. But then something marvellous happened. The light came on, and another voice spoke and said, you can't have him. He is mine. I purchased him when I died at the cross. He can come into my place. That was a real assurance. And I think I had to wait just about 70 years to get that sort of assurance. You see, if you're trusting God, if you're trusting Christ, you really are safe for the future. I better stop there. I could tell you plenty of times.
I'm pleased that we're hearing about real life examples. You know, it'd be such a lie for the older people in this church to tell the younger people in this church that life is a rose garden. You know, that it's just going to be all plain sailing. You got saved, man, you're never going to have another problem in your life. God will make you rich, he'll make you healthy, he'll do all these sorts of things. That's just a plain lie. God is there for you, but you know, the Christian life, some people call it the way of the cross, is a life filled with loss, it's filled with sacrifice, and it's usually during those darker moments in our lives that we see the brightness of God come through. And for many people, that's the true testimony. That's what life is like in faith with the Lord. Richard, you had your challenges recently health-wise. Do you want to just talk a little bit about that and how God has intervened?
Yes, till about 3.5 years ago, I really had top-class health. Could still be quite active. And then one morning, walking the dog, I just about got home. And I hadn't been feeling too good on this walk. But I'd started at about 8:30, I think. And the next thing I knew, I was in the intensive care unit at the Palmerston North Public Hospital. I don't know all the things that had happened between that, but this is what I've been told. I collapsed on the burn of the street just behind our street out at Milson. And I didn't even know that it happened, of course. But it happened outside the home of two retired paramedics. And they'd gone for a bike ride. And the fellow had forgotten something, so they came back. And they told me that when they came back, I wasn't on the burn. But he said they would be in the house under 5 minutes. When they came out, I was there. And the little dog was sitting beside me. But they knew what to do and really what the problem was. And they started evidently working on me. She rang for the ambulance and all the other people that they needed there. And the ambulance was coming down Milson Line back to base and got the message that there'd been a coronary arrest. Could they go in? And they were there before the, what do they call them, the first respondent. The fire brigade at Milson came, and they're responsible for doing the resuscitation. Anyway, they managed to get my pulse going again, and then they rung Grace. But all I knew was it was about 5:30 in the evening. I woke up. Yeah, I was in a hospital, but I thought I'd got home. God preserved my life for some reason, because they told me after what had happened with the electrics of my heart, unless you have really good medical attention within 8 minutes, you're dead. Now, why did God save my life? I cannot tell you, but I do have a responsibility, don't I, for his graciousness and mercy, because I've seen wonderful things happen since then and celebrated them with my family. So thank you, God, for preserving my life.
You're like one who presses on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of you. And what we love about you both is you keep pressing on. You know, you have some challenges, but you just get up again and go on. I remember one Sunday, Richard stood up here and said something like, "Jesus is coming again," and then he fainted. And I thought he'd gone then, you know. But I thought, what a way to go. Anyways, but... but I just love the fact, Richard, that you keep going. And, you know, we could say that Howard and Lenore are like that as well. They just, no matter what comes their way, they keep going. It's such a tremendous encouragement to us. Okay, next question. Can you sort of do a bit of an overview of the ministries that you've been involved in over the years, highlights on that front?
Well, the first thing I think of is Girls Rally. And as a 17-year-old in Fielding, Fielding was my home church, I became a rally leader then. And then I led the Kimbolton Girls Rally until we shifted over here to Palmerston North. I shifted over here with my parents. I was a rally leader here at COV for a little while, and then I changed to the Bunnythorpe Senior Girls Rally, and I led that for a number of years. I was also the secretary to the New Zealand Rally Council, and I was on the Arura Committee for the New Zealand Rally International Camps, overseeing at those all the junior girls. I also ran the rally supplies office, sending out the badges and the materials and the devotional kits and the, must say it, the rally cookbook to all the rallies in New Zealand, and actually also to India, the Bahamas, Australia. We used to send them out to those places. Oh, and Zambia, that was another place we sent them to. I did Bible in schools for over 40 years. I started Bible in schools at Milson. My mum used to come and look after my little boy, the youngest one that wasn't at school. And then I also did, at the same time, Bible in schools at Buddythorpe. We shifted out to Hilwanui and there was no Bible in schools there, so we got it going again. It had been done previously and had stopped. And so I taught Bible in schools there at Hilwanui for 40 years. Also, I was and still am a member of the Auxiliary of Gideon's International, putting the giving the New Testaments to the school children, to the year nines, and at the moment it's often to the year tens if it hasn't been done before, around in this area, which stretches from Otaki to Pātea to Awakuni to Dannevirk. Richard and I don't go into the school so much now because it looks better if it's younger people doing it. I also believe that when you're serving the Lord, you serve the Lord first. But I also think that we have a responsibility to our community. And in the community, I have been secretary for a number of years to what is called the Boys and Girls Agricultural Club, which is the calf, lamb and pet day in the schools. And so I used to have to arrange all the judges and arrange the championship days and be on duty there.
And she was a very good lamb judge until this year. She was always involved in that.
I have retired from that now. I told them last year I thought they could get younger people and it's not so easy to get down to the lamb size. Now, yes, I think that's about it. But if the Lord has given you, and the Lord does give everyone that trusts in him a gift. When I was working in Reliance Tyne Rubber Company here in Palmerston, my boss had to do the minutes for the Manawatu Rugby Club, for the whole group here. And that taught me how to do minutes. I believe God put that there to teach me, because I have been able to do minutes for a number of things that I have been the secretary for. Serve the Lord first and serve your community.
Christian ministry. My first crack at doing anything like that was out at Wakaronga here. I wanted to be a Sunday school teacher. And they used to have 100 kids here at Sunday school in the late 50s. But nobody ever asked me to be a teacher. All my friends were, Grace was. But then one day I got a phone call. They were short of a teacher at Wakaronga Sunday School. Would I go out there and do have a crack at that? So I did. The trouble was, the next year, one day the superintendent arrived with a suitcase on my doorstep and said, "I've had enough of this. Here's the suitcase." So it sort of fell on me to do something about it. And from a very young age, I guess, I was the Sunday school superintendent at Whakaronga. Did you know that from the teachers that were out there, five became missionaries? And two girls' students became pastors' wives of quite large churches in this city. Sometimes I've thought I didn't do much or didn't have any effect. But when you start and think, man, that is something. I was a trustee of Global Connections and Mission for 34 years, serving for quite some time as the chairman. I saw God working in six different continents, and in those continents, I had the opportunity quite often to preach and teach the gospel. I was invited in 1999 to become a trustee of Barnabas Aid, and for 20 years I served on that board and saw some amazing things of how God protects his people when they're persecuted. And then very briefly, Papua New Guinea. For 30 years, I helped missionaries and mission societies with government matters and surveys for extending the witness. Now, I wasn't ever put down as a missionary, but every year and sometimes twice a year, I travelled to that country. And I saw people who came from utter darkness into the marvellous life that the gospel brings. Man, it's worth people and all of us to be involved in presenting the gospel to people. I think, I better stop there.
Okay, final question. This church is, I think, around about 75 years old now, thereabouts. And you've seen a lot happen throughout that time. You've seen the church highs and lows. You've seen us, our successes and our failures. I'd like to know what you would like to encourage the next generation with, knowing what's coming in the world right now, knowing what's happening around about us, the position we have here. What would you like to leave with the church by way of a word of encouragement? Is there something that you've seen that we've lost in recent years? Is there something that we're doing well, something we could be encouraged in to do a little better? But both of you, if you could just share something that you feel, a way of encouragement for this next generation of people in COV coming through.
Again, I would say, serve the Lord at every opportunity. Satan doesn't pay good wages, but God does, and he blesses. And it's a tremendous blessing when you see some results. It's encouraging. You know that your service hasn't been in vain. If you trust in the Lord, remember he'll walk beside you every day. We have seen that so much. The morning that Richard took his cardiac arrest, it had been my turn to pray at breakfast that morning, and I said, "Lord, guide our footsteps." He didn't just guide our footsteps, he guided the footsteps of all those who helped, even to when he was taken up to ICU. It was a doctor from Crossroads that came to take him up there. The Lord will never leave you. If you're feeling distant from the Lord today, guess who moved? It's not the Lord. Just remember, he has promised to be with you always. Doesn't matter what the circumstances, he's there, he sees, and he knows, and he cannot break his promises. We have experienced that just so much in our lives. It's looking back that we see this so much. God bless you all.
We live in a busy world, do we not? So much going on. I'm afraid that perhaps a lot of us as Christians are not developing our time just to be alone with the Lord. And one of the suggestions I have, and it's for me as well, that we make sure that we read some of the scriptures just by ourselves and meditate on them. It may be just a prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of adoration to our God. And I just wonder whether the danger is in the society, in the time we live, that Satan has got very smart at keeping us away from developing our relationship with Jesus Christ. Use your talents or your gifts. I was reading in my Bible reading about 3 days ago the story that Jesus told about a boss who gave 3 servants. One he gave 10 talents of money. And he said that fellow went away and he invested those 10 talents and he ended up with 20. Another with 5, and he ended up with 10. And then there was another one who was given 1 talent. And what did he do with it? Oh, he was very careful. He didn't take any risks. So he just put it in the ground and left it there. It's amazing, that story. It really is. Jesus used it to encourage us all, even as if it's 1 talent. Use it. Maybe take a few risks. And the other thing is the need for prayer. I've come to the conclusion that that's one of the things that I got so busy sometimes. And so, you know, the church prayer meeting was the thing that I missed because I was too busy. There were some good TV programs came on when the elders had decided that's the time that we'll have the prayer meeting. So I didn't go. And I think that's one of the great needs in any local church, and especially in this church. As D.L. Moody once said, and it's often quoted in books on prayer, more is achieved through prayer than this world ever dreams of. So that's one of the things. I wonder whether we're lacking in this. I don't know what you think about that. But God does answer prayer. Sometimes he says, well, you'll have to wait to get the answer, but it'll be in the best time and in the very best way. And so I hope that this church will be a church of prayer. And, you know, some of us oldies, we can't make it, but spend the time praying for the work of this church and for the honour of our great Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much, both of you. It's going through my mind just as I was listening to you both share all these testimonies that it's just so wonderful. I mean, we are blessed to be able to hear from you both and understand the things that God has done in your life and that you're part of this family, and we can be blessed by that. But one thing you can't give anybody here is you can't give them your history with God. And we all need to develop that ourselves. And so I was so happy, Richard, that you just said, you know, we all have to create our own history with the Lord. We have to be spending our own time with God. We can be blessed and, you know, bask in the sunshine of these two, but we need to find our own history in God. We need to build that up through our lives. That can only come through our own personal interaction, relationship, and as Richard said, putting the time aside in such a busy world to have those personal times with the Lord. Psalm 92, 12, 15 says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar of Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." That's what we see in you both. And we're very, very grateful for your sharing today. I was going to say to the elders, let's pray for them both. But actually, so sitting, I kind of felt like the Lord, I'd like you to pray for us. Richard, would you mind doing that? To pray for the church. Thank you.
Lord, we want to thank you for the gospel that Jesus Christ brought down to this earth. It is your truth. It is the message that changes our lives and so many who have such needs in this world today. Oh Lord, I pray for all of us here at Church on Vogel. That you would be pleased to continue your blessing upon us. We pray for the community, and we pray for those who are working so hard to present your gospel here. Lord, help them and provide for them willing volunteers. Provide for all the needs as you see them, so that your message may be proclaimed from this place. Lord, I pray for anybody here this morning who's not a child of yours, who's never committed their life to Christ. Lord, by your Spirit, convict them of their need this very day and make them willing to respond positively. Lord, thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed over all our days. We thank you for the past and we trust you for the future. O Lord, unless you build the house, we labour in vain that build it. Lord, help us to be good workmen, but please show us each day how to build your house. We ask this and commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.